Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Craig Cox, the Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources at the Environmental Working Group. He has worked for the National Academy of Sciences, the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition and Forestry, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and as Executive Director of the Soil and Water Conservation Society. Welcome to Background Briefing, Craig Cox.
Thank you very much.
And just a week ago, Friday, millions of Americans, 47 million, in fact, have found their meager food stamps allotment has been reduced. And now lawmakers are debating a House proposal that would cut nearly $40 billion over 10 years from this same food stamp program. And all the research indicates that most families find that their food stamps run out before the end of the month in any case. And now, of course, they're facing greater hardships and will, if the Congress or the House gets its way, will have even less food and will more will drop below the poverty line. But this is all a preface to the report that you've just released that indicates that while this is happening, billionaires who have a collective wealth of $316 billion, according to Forbes magazine, are receiving crop subsidies at the behest of the taxpayer. I mean, what's going on?
What's going on is an amazing disconnect and of public priorities. I mean, these proposed cuts to food stamps that are being considered on their own are utterly irresponsible, but taken in the context that at the same time that these committees are proposing to cut food stamps, they're actually proposing to increase farm subsidies to some of the wealthiest and most profitable farm business in the world, let alone the nation, is just mind-boggling, frankly. And the piece we just put out comparing people on Forbes 400 list of the richest Americans in the country and the fact that 50 of those people have gotten farm subsidies should be compelling evidence that something is very, very wrong here in our farm policy.
And some of these people who are receiving government subsidies are the Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen, the investment peddler, if that's the right word, Charles Schwab, and then, of course, the owner of Chick-fil-A, S. Truett Cathy. They are receiving these, and they, of course, all told, these billionaires have a collective net worth of $316 billion. And these subsidies, of course, are not being debated, are they? I mean, in the sense that the priority now is to cut the food stamps, not you were just saying that, in fact, what's likely to happen and what's being proposed is that the subsidies will be increased for these billionaires.
There's really a cynical game of bait and switch going on in this farm bill debate. So the committees are proposing to end one of the more discredited types of farm subsidies, so-called direct payment program. That's good news. That program should have been gone in 2002, but is hung on. But they're using about 75% of the savings to gin up a whole new suite of farm subsidies, mostly for the same people that were getting the direct payment program, but at a far higher cost to the environment and likely to be even more generous to billionaires because they're not subject to any of the limitations that the earlier farm subsidies were subject to.
Well, the program that you're talking about, unlike the direct subsidies, which have a cap of $40,000 per farm, these companies, largely wealthy farms and agribusiness, are allowed to receive unlimited crop insurance subsidies. And of course, irony upon irony, this was a program developed during the Depression to boost struggling farmers, but now it's really a form of right-wing welfare for wealthy farmers.
That's exactly right. In fact, we received data from USDA's Risk Management Agency in 2011 that showed in that year alone, there were 26 crop insurance policy holders that received more than $1 million in premium support just in that one year. So the value of these premium supports is just astronomic compared to the payments that we document going to billionaires in our recent release.
And again, I'm speaking with Craig Cox, the Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources at the Environmental Working Group. He has worked for the National Academy of Sciences, the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and as Executive Director of the Soil and Water Conservation Society. So I recall, you know, since we're talking about irony, hypocrisy, in fact, we're talking about disgraceful public policy here and really sick and distorted priorities, at least in my opinion. I shouldn't editorialize quite so much, but this is so disgusting. It's hard not to. You know, recently I found out that there was a congressman in Tennessee, Representative Stephen Fincher, was on the floor castigating these people who get, these 47 million of our fellow citizens who get these meager food stamps. And you know that the House has been talking about instituting drug tests and all of these kind of mean-spirited programs that take the assumption that the poorest and the least amongst us are a bunch of freeloaders who are ripping off the government, when in fact they're clearly families in need, most of whom have children. But this congressman from Tennessee, whose family farm receives these massive subsidies and has so for decades, took to the floor and started to quote the Bible, saying, if you don't, you know, I don't know the exact passage, but it was paraphrasing, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, you know. So where does the mean-spiritedness come from? Or is this just that you have in our political structure a system, because it's based on money, that essentially the Congress works for the people who give them the money, and most of their money comes from rich people, so that's who they service? Is that why it's the way it is?
Well, I don't know where this mean-spiritedness is coming from. I can, in my brighter moments, I hope it just comes from ignorance, that these folks are utterly ignorant of the fact that the vast majority of people receiving food stamps are working families, often with two or three jobs, trying to make ends meet, that the primary beneficiaries of these programs are children. I would hope that ignorance is the root of this mean-spiritedness, but it is it's a remarkable indication of just how far skewed the public policy debate around farm policy has become. That this debate can be focused on reducing benefits to people who are maybe getting a couple hundred dollars a month in food stamps, while other folks are getting millions of dollars a year in support, with no indication that support is needed at all. I have to say, it's so stunning that it's actually even hard to talk about.
Again, I'm speaking with Craig Cox, the Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources at the Environmental Working Group. And Craig's organization have just released this report that has revealed the extent to which our farm subsidy policy is distorted, where billionaires with the collective wealth of $316 billion are receiving millions in subsidies from the taxpayers at the same time that the House is debating proposals to cut nearly $40 billion over 10 years from the food stamp program that was just cut last Friday. So I take it this report that you've just released is intended to pull over these good Christians, and frankly, that's not being pejorative, because many of them are with the conservative Christian right that dominates the Republican Party along with the Tea Party. And yet, and as I mentioned, Congressman Stephen Fincher quotes the Bible as his authority to bring pain and suffering upon the most vulnerable of his fellow citizens. But do you think that, along with pointing out the hypocrisy of this situation, there is, in other words, are the religious folk that you know, is there a religious left in this country? We only hear from the religious right. But you would think this would be a real case for people of conscience to step up here. I mean, you know, we have the Catholic workers, we have the nuns that I occasionally speak with who minister to the poor and conduct food banks and soup kitchens. I would think that they could be mobilized as well if the people in the Congress that you're trying to alert to this hypocrisy are as hard-hearted as they appear to be.
Well, Representative Fincher's remarks are just the most compelling evidence of how disjointed from reality this debate around the Farm Bill has become this year. You know, that we're actually arguing about cutting poor people's allocation of food stamps by, you know, that maybe get $200 a month while other, you know, the most profitable farm businesses in the country are getting millions of dollars of support is just mind-boggling. And, you know, the religious community is definitely weighing in. I mean, Bread for the World, the Catholic bishops. I mean, there's a lot of voices that are being raised in opposition to these totally irresponsible cuts to food stamps. And what we've done with these data about billionaires is to just, you know, try to show once more how skewed these priorities really are and how easily it would be to reduce the federal deficit without hurting people who just need some help to feed their family.
And what about taking on these programs themselves, which are legacies of the Depression? And as we pointed out earlier, they're getting rid of one Depression era project of direct payments that are capped at $40,000, but encouraging another one that gives unlimited insurance subsidies, unlimited crop insurance subsidies to these huge agribusiness companies, many of whom are owned by these billionaires.
That's right. I mean, crop insurance, which has a nice sounding name, by the way, has really emerged as the primary way that taxpayers boost farm income. And there's huge problems. I mean, crop insurance could be a responsible safety net, you know, that puts a floor under family farmers' revenue, you know, when bad weather hits. That's what crop insurance should be. But it has so far overshot that goal that it's now really become just a way to boost income for some of the most profitable, financially secure farming operations in the world.
Well, my understanding is from listeners in Idaho and Wyoming and other states that every year when these checks come in, everybody buys a new pickup. And the checks, in large part, are not to grow things. Am I right in that? That this is really distorted to the point where people are paid money not to farm? Or is this purely as a hedge against bad weather?
Well, the direct payment program that I think you're referring to, it's not true that most of that money goes to people not to plant crops. But what is true is you don't have to be a farmer to receive those payments. You just have to own farmland or have an interest in one of these large farming operations, which is demonstrated by the list of billionaires in our report that are benefiting from farm subsidies. You know, certainly not the kind of people that most people would conceive of as a family farmer.
So the crop insurance actually does what it says, right? It's a hedge against bad weather?
That's what it should be, but it's become much more than that. It's really become a way to guarantee business revenue at very high levels, up to 85% guaranteed by the taxpayer of average business revenue for these highly profitable farming operations.
So what do they have to prove? Does it not matter whether the weather is bad that year or not? I mean, do they get it in any case? I mean, what are the rules here?
the crop insurance now guarantees a certain amount of per acre revenue, right? So that's price times yield. So these crop insurance policies can pay off if there is a drop in yield or if there's a drop in market price or some combination of the two. The farmer has to show if he's had or she has had a yield decrease. That yield decrease has to be adjusted by a crop insurance agent. But there's no requirement for that producer to show how much he or she sold their crop for. So there's no, you know, there's no sales receipts required. There's no evidence of loss of revenue required.
Well, the reason we're in this conversation, Craig Cox, we're tying food stamps to billionaires getting crop subsidies is because the Department of Agriculture controls both programs. But just in a broader political sense here, isn't it pretty clear that this is a form of welfare for red states, that this is Republican welfare by and large?
I don't know if it's Republican welfare. I'd have to look at the map. But clearly, in the House of Representatives, most of the traditional ag districts are now held by Republican members of Congress. So it's, I think, the responsibility for securing a fiscally responsible crop insurance program, one would think, would fall most heavily on Republican members of Congress. There are some measures that are already in both the House and Senate version of the farm bills that would be a small step towards reforming the crop insurance program. And, you know, we're still working very hard to make sure those end up in the final bill.
Well, Craig Cox, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
My pleasure. Thank you for the invitation.
Again, I've been speaking with Craig Cox, who's a Senior Vice President for Agriculture and Natural Resources at the Environmental Working Group. He has worked for the National Academy of Sciences, the Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and is Executive Director of the Soil and Water Conservation Society. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.